I guess if I was going to title this tonight, I was telling the pastor that my title would be, "Hey, it's me! It's me!" Oh, that's my title. Now that I got your attention, you say, "I know it's you." Well, if you got John chapter 9, and look at verse 1. "And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest unto him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.' Then he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing." This is a great passage. Jesus has opened the eyes of a blind man that has been blind from birth, has never seen light, had never seen anything. And I thank God that he opens our eyes, our dead eyes, to the spiritual light when we accept him, and we're able to see and understand things that we never understood or could even think of before we were saved. And maybe this lesson, if nothing else, will help us to remember what Jesus has done for each one of us in our lives. And when Jesus transforms a life, there's no amount of argument that can rebuke that. In other words, if I told you I got saved and you was a non-believer, and I'm beginning to tell you, and you say, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You just ate too much pizza last night or something," you know. But there's no amount of argument can rebuke that. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we knew at that time that we were saved, born again, on our way to heaven. We didn't know what it all meant, maybe, at that time. But there was no argument that could dispute that. And Paul describes Satan in the passage you hear, the god of this world, and he is little g, god of this world, who blinds the eyes and the minds of unbelievers. And he does do that, and he does it very well, by the way. Now, when we get into this passage here, look up in chapter 8, and let me tell you what's going to happen. And in verse 51, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Now, this is going to upset the religious leaders that he is speaking to in the temple at this time. And then in verse 52, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil, because Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thyself, if a man keep these sayings, he shall never taste death." They're saying, Abraham was a born-again man, but he's died, and you said already that if a man trusts you, he's not going to die, and they have, and therefore they was angry with him, and they started stoning him, throwing stones if they could have found him. They was going to chase him out of the temple at this time. And in verse 59 says, "Where they took up stones to cast out him, but he left." And now at this time, he is on the outside. He is walking through a crowd of people at this time. And it says, "And as Jesus passed by," as he was going through these people, "he saw one man in particular, and one man that was blind." Isn't it amazing that just say there was only 50 people there? There might have been more, might have been less, but if there was 50 people there, Jesus saw one person. That's the one he saw. And that's the one he zeroed into. You said, "How did Jesus know about this guy?" The same way he knew about you when you got saved. Same way with me when I got saved. He zeroed in. If you was in a church, he zeroed in and got you. And that's the same way he did each one of us. It was personal. He came and we accepted him. But we see here now that Jesus is zeroing in on this guy here. And Jesus had compassion on him this time, but as Jesus had compassion on him, the disciples begin to think, now if he's blind, there's a reason for him being blind. See, they haven't life hasn't changed much since then. We're the same way. If we see something wrong with somebody, we say, I wonder what happened to them, and we start discussing it, you know. And that's what was happening here. The disciples wanted to know who was at fault because this guy was born blind. And Jesus had compassion on him, but he still had a blindness that he was going to take care of. And the disciples wanted to know whose fault it was. We always want to know whose fault it is. And in verse 3, look what Jesus said. He says, neither this man or his parents. In other words, there is nobody at fault. Jesus doesn't give us the answer that they wanted. And God has his own reasons for permitting sicknesses, diseases, sufferings, and troubles in our lives. He had his own reasons for that. You see, I like to know what it is. I would too sometimes, believe me, I would too, but God does not show us a lot of times what it is. But God has a plan for us, and he doesn't explain our plan to us all in one day. He explains it to us as we begin to walk through it. He does ask us at this time that we need to walk with faith through the times of good times and also through the times of bad times, the times of trouble. Now, and we know that this man here says in verse 3 that the works of God should be made manifest in him, in this blind man. he created us, and we are to give him the glory for everything that happened. Now, we see here now that in verse 4 and 5, he gives more reasons. And it says, because the time is short, then Jesus says, the night cometh when no man can see. In other words, when we're at night, we don't see very good at night. We're not like the coons that stole all of my corn. They can see that ear of corn a mile away, I think. But, you know, we can't see good at night. And if we don't have spiritual eyes, we can't see. And then Jesus gives them comfort here. And he says, I am the light of the world. And he still is, by the way. He still is the light of the world. In verse 6 there. Now, this is an amazing verse. Because what Jesus uses, he spits. To us, that's one of the most disgusting thing there is. You know, I mean, really it is. I mean, mine's okay when I do it, and yours is okay when you do it. But when I see you do it, you see me doing it, or get this on your shoes when I do it, we don't like it. We said, that's just disgusting. And Jesus can take nothing, everything everybody else rejects, he can take that and perform a miracle with it. So, you know, when he wants to use us, we're a whole lot better than spittle. And he says, I'll use you, and I can accomplish more if you will only follow me. So he takes it at this time. It said he spat on the ground, and he made clay. Now, I can just see this in my mind, you know. I mean, I won't go through the motions because you already know what they are. And then he picks it up, and he mixes it up. And then he takes that clay, and he puts it in that blind man's eyes, just like that. The blind man didn't know no difference. He didn't see him do that. He had no idea what it was. And this is going to be a two-part miracle. Now, the first part of the miracle, Jesus applied the clay, the spittle clay, to the blind man's eye. And a spit is like a medicine. Remember can't think of the chapter now. Can't think of what I'm trying to say. He licked the wounds of the man. The dog licked them. And if you're from the old country and from the old time, you know that there's soothing. The dog will come up and lick a sore if you have one. If you let him, you know. And there must be something soothing in it that we don't know about. We've done the same thing. We've done the same thing, haven't we? Why do we do it?
We don't know.
It's just an instinct. But let's get back to where we was talking about. That was the first part, applying it to his eyes. The second part was left up to the blind man. Jesus had already touched the man, and he could have healed him right then. Remember, the woman that just touched his garment was healed. Jesus could have healed this man instantly, but he chose not to. And so he had this man here. He told him. He says that in verse 7 there, he had to follow exactly what he said. He told him to go to a certain pool, to Siloam, and he says, and wash your eyes out. In other words, go there to this pool, get down there, and wipe your eyes out. Now, maybe this guy had to have somebody lead him there. Maybe he knew the way by himself. I don't think they knew as much as blind people do today. They can pretty much be independent today. But anyhow, he made it to the pool. And look what happened there in verse 7 also. He says, and he came seeing. The Lord had healed the blind man that had been blind from birth. The blind man now can see. And went back to his neighborhood where he grew up, where he still lived, and he walked down the streets, and neighbors began to look out the window, and they began to look out the door, and they might have been sitting on a porch swaying and saying, who is that over there? Who is that? Is not that he that sat down here and used to beg? Isn't that the same guy? And in verse 9 there, they said, it looks like him. I think it's him. I do believe it's him. Well, I wonder why he's walking like he can see. And they got to asking question. Finally, there in verse 9, he said, hey, it's me. It really is me. He said it in a different way. He says, I am he, but I can just imagine what he was saying. You know, hey, it is me, and I can see you, and you got a pretty red sweater on, or something like that, to prove that he could see. Now, the man at this time had to identify himself to his neighbors. Now, the neighbors knew that something had happened to him, but they did not believe that something this drastic had happened to him, that he could actually see. Because he could see, they knew there was something different about him. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we walk down the road, if we are into a building, or wherever we're at, when you leave, they were to say, something different about that guy. Something different about that woman. When Jesus has performed a miracle on you, and he has us when he saved us, that was a miracle. That anything that can transform a hell-bound person takes a miracle. Because there ain't nothing we can do. All the money in the world, there is nothing we could do. Only he could save us. And they were to say, there's been a change in that person. Now, so I believe that this man and woman probably sitting on a porch discussing still yet whether it was him or whether it was not him. And then finally they said in verse 10, therefore they said to him, how were thine eyes opened? It is you. We do believe it's you now. But how in the world can you see? How are your eyes open? In verse 11 there, the healed man said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. Then he said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I received my sight. Simple, isn't it? It was simple. And I thank God that salvation is just as simple. We want to make it harder, but it's just as simple. I like this man's testimony. He only told what he knew. He had a good, honest, sincere testimony at this time, and I think his faith grew each time he told it. Now, notice how accurate the Word of God is. It's in the Word of God. He didn't say, Jesus took spittle and made clay and anointed in my eyes. Now, he didn't say that. That's what Jesus did, but that's not what he seen because he was blind. But that's what happened. But he only told what happened. He said Jesus, or a man, he didn't call him Jesus yet, a man took clay and put in my eyes. And in his blindness, he didn't know that it was Jesus, but he knew it was clay that this man was putting on his eyes. And his testimony was accurate, just the way he said it. The man hadn't seen Jesus, so he didn't know who Jesus was. Yet the Lord had opened his eyes. He had performed a miracle on him, and he hadn't seen Jesus yet. He's heard his voice. It's an important thing for us at this time is not that we see Jesus, but that we believe in Jesus. We will see him one day ourselves. Now, in verse 12 there, the neighbors ask him, where is he? Where is the man that healed you? And a man says, I don't know. I don't know where he is. He says, I didn't see him. Because when I washed my eyes, he wasn't there. So he said, I don't know. Then we can see in verses 13 to 19, they brought the healed man at this time to the Pharisees. This was on the Sabbath. And they ask him at this time, who is this Jesus? He says. And some said that he's a prophet. So the Jewish leader says, send for his parents and ask them who he is. So they evidently don't believe the man's testimony. They don't believe any of the people that was with him. And they're setting a trap at this time for Jesus also. So the Jewish leaders there in verse 9, they send for Jesus and ask him, who is this your son? I went to send for the parents. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Now then, doeth he now see? He said that this time the parents answered them and says, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. We see at this time now that the parents are now involved in it. And the parents only said just a little bit. They didn't say a whole lot because they didn't know a whole lot themselves. But we can see at this time there's a trap that's being set. And the trap is being set for whoever says this man is Jesus. So nobody wants to mention the name Jesus at this time. So because if they do, according to verse 22, they'd be kicked out of the synagogues. They would be kicked out of the church. You'd be excommunicated. So the Jewish leaders considered Jesus just a sinner, just a man, and didn't want Jesus to have the credit for what had happened of the blind man being healed at this time. So in verse 24, they called the healed man, the blind man that had been healed, they said unto him, give God the praise, because we know this man here is a sinner, that they was talking about Jesus. And in verse 25 there, the healed man says, I don't know if he is a sinner or not, but one thing I know, I was once blind, but now I see. You can't discredit that. And see, the Pharisees at this time wasn't trying to discredit that. They knew he could see. But they was trying to get on another track to find out what people was thinking, who Jesus really was, because they didn't want him to receive the glory. Now, once we was in spiritual darkness, but now I'm in spiritual light. So they asked, what did he do to you? In verse 26. So the man goes through it again. And he says, he anointed my eyes with this clay. and now I can see. They said, are you one of his disciples? And they says, no, we're not. We're Moses' disciples. We know not. But we're Moses' disciples. We're not his disciples. So they was trying to set a trap for Jesus at this time. Now, and the parents didn't want to answer that, yes, he was healed by Jesus. Maybe they knew or maybe they didn't know, but they knew that they would be kicked out of the synagogue if they said, yes, it was Jesus. So they said, go ask him. They put it all on his shoulder, see? And he was willing to tell whatever he knew at that time. In verse 34 there, after they had been questioning him again, they'd had enough the healed man. They've had enough the story that they'd seen. He says, now we see. And because Jesus had healed him. First of all, we see that they cast him out of the temple. The man that was can see now, they cast him out of the temple. They excommunicated him from the church there, the synagogue. He was almost considered like a leper that had leprosy. And he would be discredited from everything. The man may not even had a life left after that. But he knew one thing. I was blind, but now I can see. And then we can see that in verse 35, the blind man, in verse 34, when the blind man stood and defended the Lord is there whenever there is trouble. He is in our midst. And the blind man at this time met Jesus. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, the healed man, that is, they had cast him out. And Jesus is going to go to him at this time. And he goes to him, and he finds him. And Jesus asks him at this time in verse 35, thou believest on the Son of God? Now, this is a critical question that he's asking this to. Do thou believest on the Son of God? The man that was healed, this man's experience, which he had gone through, had strengthened his faith. Every time he talked about it, it would strengthen his faith. And the Lord knew at this right, he was ready at this time for the final step. So this man is so open and so sincere, he asked the Son of God. He said, who is the Son of God that I might believe? He was willing to believe because of what happened to him. And you can see the eagerness in this man. And our Lord responded at this time in a great way. Thou hast both, now look at this, thou hast both seen, he's seen him. Before he only heard him. But now he can see his own self. He can see him. And it is he that talketh with thee. In other words, he says, you're looking right at me. I am the Son of God. You're looking at me. I'm the one that touched you and healed your eyes. And the man said at this time, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That should be a great testimony for us today. When a person receives Jesus, they need to learn to worship him. Just need to learn to worship him. A lot of people get saved today, they say, and you never dart a church. Every time we go to the Lord, you know, we always ask for something, don't we? And he's there for that, and we're supposed to. Have you ever went to the Lord and just say, Lord, I don't want a thing. I don't want nothing. I just want to come talk to you for a minute. Just tell you how much I love you and do what you do for me. Our kids, when they do that to us, we're pretty excited, ain't we? Mom, can I have a car? Dad, can I have this? Mom, can I have that? And when they come and say, you know, Mom, Dad, I don't want nothing. I got everything I want today. I just want to come. I just want to thank you for what you've done in the past. Then we get say, oh, what's he going to ask for now? But, you know, but just learn to worship the Lord. We think of worship sometimes as what we do here in the church, and we do worship the Lord here. But we can worship him at other places just the same as we can here. I'm not saying you shouldn't come here. You just need to come here. You can do it in other places also. And this man, he confessed and says, Lord, I believe, and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, we all need to get times when we just get alone with the Lord and just talk to him. Just talk. I like it sometimes when I go to the Lord and say, I don't have a need of anything right now, and that's why I'm not coming. I just want to come talk to you for a minute. And that can be some of the best times. That can be some of the best time. Now, in verse 39 there, Jesus said, "For judgment I am coming to the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." This is a strange statement at this time that the Lord made. The Lord said that those who have eyes can't see. They have physical eyes. They have physical sight. But they are blinded spiritually. And we're blind spiritually until we receive Jesus Christ as our own Savior. Now, in closing now, Jesus is real. And you know, he was in the grave. He was in that tomb. Nobody has ever found his bones because they're not there. He raised from the dead bodily. Jesus is real. Salvation is real. And look at the steps that the blind man made at this time accepting Jesus. Verse 11, we see his first description was simply a man called Jesus. And then in verse 17, when the Pharisees questioned him, the man said, "He is a prophet." And in verse 33, he said he was from God. And in verse 35, he believed and he was the Son of God. And in verse 38, the man was saved and started worshiping him. That was a step. And that's our steps too. We was blind. And through salvation, we can see. We learn to worship the Lord and gather with other Christians. And I praise in our Lord. Simple and easy. Like I told my class Sunday, the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion says do. D-O. Christianity says D-O-N-E. Done. We don't have to do a thing. It is done. And Jesus paid the price fully for you. And for me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your wonderful many blessings, the grace that you've given us to carry out through each day. And Father, we just ask now that as we're in your midst and getting ready to depart, to go our separate ways, that you'll bless us and watch over us and bring us back again this Lord's day. And we ask that you'll be with our pastor and his family, that you'll bring them back. And Lord, we pray that you'll be at the time of fellowship this Saturday night that we'll be having. We'll praise you for that. And we thank God for the tent that we have that we can set outside and it be a testimony, dear Lord, that we're serving our Lord and meeting with our God here in this building. And we can do it in a tent and that people going by may see it. And Father, it might be a testimony for you. We just ask now that you'll dismiss us and we'll give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.